The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Brian E. Lau, creator of Staunch Ambition, and you are listening to the PVD Cast by John Orwater. Or wait. Orlando? Yes. John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 220. I hope you're doing well out there, and I'm pretty excited to bring you this edition. The gentleman joining me is none other than Frank James Bailey. Now, Frank has joined me before on a couple different appearances over the years, but he's back to talk about a new project that he has, though it's kind of with the same characters. What do I mean by that? Well, we're talking about Turkana, an illustrated book that Frank has been writing over the last few years, and he has three volumes out. But most recently, he has decided to take the characters of Turkana and turn them into a full-fledged comic book. So he's coming on to talk about issue one, which is already out, as well as issue two, which is almost done. And Frank's really putting the pedal to the metal. He's going to have issue three out later this year, and we touch on the Kickstarter that will help fund that. So we talk all about Turkana. We talk about cartoons in general, because Frank's a huge fan of cartoons. And we even touch on his voice acting career as well. So got a lot of stuff to get to, so I'm not going to waste a ton of time in this intro. I'm just going to let you know real quickly that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. As you know, World's Greatest Comics is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking about the golden era, the silver era, the bronze era, or the modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, basically anything you need for your fandom, they got. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff, or you can check them out online at wgcomics.com. And they're also on Facebook. Just search for WG Comics in the search engine on Facebook. And no matter how you interact with the fine folks over there at World's Greatest Comics, whether it's in person or online, please let them know that you heard about the store from yours truly right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Frank James Bailey. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the PVD Cast. Creator Frank James Bailey. Frank, how are you doing, man?
Not too bad.
Well, you are the creator of Turkana, and I know some of the listeners may have already listened and heard about you, especially with your other two appearances here on the PVD Cast. But for the new listeners, let's maybe just recap a little bit. Who is Turkana?
Turkana is a female superhero. Some people might call her a heroine, but I call it a female superhero. And generally, I kind of was influenced by my daughter. When my daughter was seven, this was several years ago because now she's 13. But when my daughter was seven, she said, "Daddy, I don't like princesses anymore. I like superheroes." And that's how I pitch it when I go to comic cons and bookstores and stuff. When somebody comes up to me, that's exactly the first line I give them. Because then it's like, oh, it's a personal connection. You know, it's from you and your family to a superhero. You know, like I turned my daughter into a superhero. But anyway, Turkana is a female superhero that was a princess on her planet where she came from. And she just wanted to leave her evil mother behind because she didn't really want to be ruled by her mother anymore. And she wanted to do something better with her life. So she took her dad and her brother and she left her evil mother on this planet and they took off to Earth. So now she kind of protects the Earth from, you know, bad people and villains and that kind of stuff. And her evil mom is still on that planet somewhere. And that's, she harbors kind of a thought in her mind. It's like, well, will my mother ever return? It's like, you know, somewhere in the back of her mind, she's probably not going to think. And a couple of tiny little tidbit things is every superhero has an alter ego. Well, I named the alter ego of Trakana Paige after my daughter. And Trakana ages 1 year for every 10 years on Earth. So she looks like a typical 15-year-old girl, but she's actually 150 years old. And that kind of makes more dramatic stuff for the story later on. Like if she looks like a 15-year-old girl, but just she'd get involved with somebody because she'll outlive them by like 900 years. It just makes for better storytelling and better conflict and stuff. So,
were you inspired by other superheroes and other comic book creations out there while you were writing Trakana?
It wasn't while I was writing, but there were some things that did influence me a lot. I'm influenced by cartoons a lot. I love animation, especially really good storytelling animation. Like, for example, Kim Possible, Danny Phantom, Avatar: The Last Airbender is my favorite cartoon of all time. Teen Titans, the original show from the early 2000s. That's another good one. Now, there's a couple of good ones out now, too, on Netflix. Trollhunters, Voltron. One that just came out recently was The Dragon Prince. To me, it's good action-telling storyline with a serialized storyline. I love those serialized storylines that kind of go over a big arc and everything else. Like I said, Avatar: The Last Airbender is one of my favorite. But if you look at Trakana, she has a face a little bit like Kim Possible. Not mm-hmm. exactly, but a little bit. I mean, I gave her that upper lip thing, but that's the only thing she has in common with Kim Possible is that upper lip. Other than that, again, those are influences. I've been reading comics since the 90s. I have a lot of Flash comics, a lot of Superman comics. I'm more of a DC person, although I do have some Spider-Man. I do have some Iron Man, but I'm more of a DC person. Flash is my all-time favorite comic. I have about 50 or almost 100 of comics from the Flash from the 90s, but I haven't collected comics that much lately. No, but when I go to Comic Cons and I see something interesting that's independently made, I might buy that to kind of check it out to help support independent comics. I've also done with a Kickstarter too. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to check that out.
Right, right. So originally, Trakana was an illustrated book, correct?
Yes, correct.
And there were three volumes?
Yes. Here's the whole situation behind the books. In 2015, saw this website. I think it was like a Kim Possible fan site. And I thought for sure, man, that format looks awesome. I love that format. Of course, you go through it. I really want to continue this, and I'm going to continue this. But when you first start off, sometimes you make little mistakes here and there. Now, to me, it's not really a mistake. It's just like a tweak in the whole plan, you know? But sure. The first illustrated novel was basically a book, like about 115 pages, had a lot of color pictures, told the story of how she got started, where her powers start, that kind of thing. The second book, which is called Dr. Q the Banana Gun, again, same format, pictures, words. And the third book was kind of the same thing, pictures, words, illustrated novels. I think in 2018 I was trying to figure out, okay, do I do another book or do I do a comic book? Well, I wrote another book. I called it Medea's Rise to Power. Okay. And it's kind of put in the back burner right now, but Medea's Rise to Power, I had my editor go through it and it was going to tell the story of how Medea, her mother, is getting off or kind of got off that planet in the first book. Well, the problem was my editor said, you know, this isn't really a superhero book because the first chapter was about Trakana. The next, I don't know, 15, 16 chapters was all about Medea, her mom. And then the last two chapters was about Trakana again. So the bulk of it wasn't about her at all. And he said, you got to rethink this because some people fans might be interested in the story. But, you know, so I thought, okay, wait a minute. Well, what if I took the first chapter and turned it into a comic book just as an experiment? So I did that. So 2019 was all about trying to plug the first comic book, which was generally the first chapter of that unpublished book. And it went over really well. So now I'm doing all comic books since the comic books are outselling the books and that story is kind of put in the back burner, but I still want to tell that story eventually about if she got off the planet or if she's not off the planet. So I made this storyline and yeah, it started off as illustrated novels and they weren't selling as well as I thought they were. I liked the format, but come the comic books, wow, They're like, at least 8 to 10 to 1. So,
yeah, you know what? You said something that is, I think, no matter if you're talking about creating comic books or if you're creating any type of art or, mm-hmm. or if you're doing a podcast, you learn as you go and you think you have a great idea. And sometimes it is a great idea. Other times it blows up in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I want people to know, it's like, even though they weren't selling, I'm still going to keep them the way they are. I'm not going to have this whole new, you know, I'm not going to have another comic book that starts the whole story all over again, you know?
Are you going to go back and take those three books and turn them into comics?
Well, you know, to me, I don't know if it'd be a waste of money or not, because the original idea a long time ago was to make comic books. But at the time, I didn't know how to write comics. And as progression went on, I kind of learned how to write comics. And then now that I've got these three books, I figured instead of restarting the whole story all over again, why not just go from that point on? You know, just start from where you're at and just keep moving forward. That's I love that model from Disney. Keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. So if people want to know how the whole thing started, they can get the book one on Amazon or go to Turcon.com, you know, or see me at a Comic-Con somewhere. They can get the first book. And a lot of times some people will do that. They'll buy the first book to see how it all started. Then they'll buy the next comic book, you know?
Gotcha. So you already have issue number one completed and it's out there.
Comic book or the book books?
Of the comic book, correct?
Yes.
So do you want to give a little brief summary without giving too much away as to what fans could expect in issue number one?
Okay, issue number one, which is available on Turcana.com. I was plugging it the entire year of 2019. So issue number two will be out later this year. Matter of fact, I'm going to debut it at Wizard World in Cleveland. But we'll get more of my Comic Cons in a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, issue number one is Turcana and her friend Brittany. They're basically out kind of patrolling, or they're kind of giving some money back to this barbershop because it was stolen. And as they walk out of the barbershop, they're doing banter back and forth. Somebody hits Brittany and throws her against the wall with the slime gun type of thing. And there's a kind of an assassin out there, was hired by somebody to get a hold of Turcana or, you know, capture her. You know, like I said, I'm not going to tell you how the whole thing is because there's a lot of back and forth. And people seem to like it because there's a lot of action in it. And now here's the thing, though, with comic number two, have you heard of people who, when you watch cartoon or any kind of series, actually, when you see a series, sometimes there's a filler episode?
Yes.
You know, because the story arc is this, this, and this, but there's always like one or two episodes here and there that really have nothing to do with the story, but they tell more about the certain characters. They're filler episodes. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of that's what number two is. Comic number two has nothing to do with the Thea Bangemont storyline, because the comic book number one is called Who is Thea Bangemont? Comic book number two is called The Secret. Now, it technically has nothing to do with Thea Bangemont, but it's going to tell you more about Brittany's, family and stuff. And I never really went into her family, showed how she has a sister and what kind of attitude she has and what kind of mother she has and stuff. So basically, that's what comic book number two is. But I'm working on comic book number three, which will be out later this year, and that will continue the Thea Bangemont storyline.
Okay, cool. A question that just popped in my head while mm-hmm. you were talking about those two issues. You mentioned that Turcana and Paige are clearly modeled after your daughter.
Yes.
Are other characters in the Turcana universe, are they modeled after other people that you know?
I gave Brian, which is Turcana's friend from high school, I gave Brian my birthday, and I kind of see him like me a little bit. Nerdy guy, likes comics. I don't play video games, but it's like I took some bits and pieces of personality from some people and put them in other people. Brittany is a tough girl, but what I've learned by watching interviews and seeing things with Stan Lee is like, you know, you create these characters or create storylines with certain superheroes and give them a problem, because that's what normal people have. People like Iron Man, he's an alcoholic, you know. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man, he's a teenager that goes to school, and that's his problem. He has to save the world too. Well, Brittany has certain problems she has a typical great family, you know, dynamic, mom, dad, and other sisters, but she has problems too. Just like her friend Brian has a mom but no dad. You know, so it's single mom raising her. And of course, you know, Turcana, we all know that she has, you know, a dad and a brother, but no mom, because mom was left on the planet somewhere. So every dynamic, every character has different dynamic of family issues and how they have to deal with them.
Well, let's talk for a minute about your artist that you're working with. And you've worked with him ever since the beginning of the project.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has a real clean, real sharp cartoon feel to Turkana, which I think works wonderfully for the book. Do you want to tell the folks at home where you found, and I'm going to hopefully not mispronounce his name, Ujaval?
Yes.
Did I pronounce correct? Okay.
Yes.
And that's his first name. We're not going to try his last name. It's a hard one.
He's from India.
He's from India, correct. Again. But do you want to talk about how you found him and how you guys have worked
together? I found him on Fiverr.com a long time ago, and I still work with him off of Fiverr.com. Back then when I found him, Fiverr was known as this website where you can find cheap things for cheap people. In fact, my wife did voiceovers on Fiverr for a long time. But apparently Fiverr has switched a lot of its dynamic where, you know, instead of charging only $5 for something, because that's what Fiverr is, they can charge a lot more. So yeah, my artist has grown a lot since 2015 and he charges a lot more. That's how I found him. I found him on Fiverr.com and that's where he does a lot of his work. And he does a lot. He likes the thing called Marvel style. And he's always trying to get me to do the more of the Marvel style. But I mean, I think people know my Turkana style and they know her in that style. So I don't want to change it too much. Now, if you noticed, I don't know if you've seen the books or not and seen the comics yet, but the comic is just so slightly different than the actual books. The books, they're more colorful, but the comics are just slightly different. They're still the same characters, still the same colors. It's just a slightly different art style.
You know, I did pick up on that a little bit, you know, with looking and doing some research that it seemed, especially with your lead character, seemed to have just a slight little adjustment to her character. And, you know, Ujaval's got some awesome artwork on his Facebook page, and it's linked off of yours, which we will talk about at the end there.
Okay.
But yeah, he does some great work, and I got to tell all the listeners there out there that you need to definitely check out his Facebook page because it's some beautiful stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, he's a big Marvel fan. He does other Marvel characters, Deadpool, and in effect, when the whole Marvel Endgame was going on, he did Thanos and Iron Man and that kind of stuff. But he also does artwork for India stuff too. Now, again, I don't know some of the characters that he does, but they're fantastic looking artwork and really creative things. And of course, it's big with his country, so people around where he's at know who they are. I don't know who they are, but they look fantastic.
agreed. Hey, but speaking of art, one of the things you mentioned, I believe the last time we talked, is that you get a lot of Turkana fan art.
Yes.
Are you still getting tons of that?
Oh, I wouldn't say tons, but I still get fan art. Matter of fact, on my Facebook page and the Turkana fan club, which is a Facebook group that I have on Facebook, and I try and post the art that I like or art that I receive on Tuesdays. Otherwise, anybody can post their fan art anytime they want in the group. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I repeat some of the ones from a couple of years ago. But yeah, some people are posting fan art of Turkana, and occasionally, I'll find somebody, let's say, who does art, and it's like, you know, I really like their style. Maybe I'll, if they have a decent commission price, like, you know, $15-$25 or something, maybe I'll have them draw something just to kind of see what their style of Turkana is. And a lot of times it works, you know. Or let's just say 2-3 years ago, they gave me a free one. Well, here it is. Their art is a lot better now. So hey, sure, I'll do a commission for you. And let's see what you do now with Turkana. You know, just kind of help out other artists and kind of see what they do. You know, I don't see the need to pay like $150, $300 for a fan art picture. You know what I mean? But if they're willing to help me out a little bit and I'll help them out, and it's like, we'll have an agreement. And yeah, and then I'll post, hey, this is their version of Turkana. What do you think? You know?
So you have a Kickstarter coming soon. You've talked about it. Now you have stated that you're not sure the exact date, but it's coming soon.
Yes, can you not give, the exact date yet.
Can you give a few details about the Kickstarter campaign?
Okay. The couple of details are pretty interesting. I have a special cover for comic book number one that was I only have 50 of. I have a special cover for comic book number two that I only have 50 of. With those special covers, they'll get a print or a poster, if you want to call it that. I know one thing for sure. I'm only going to ask for around $2,000. Now, if I get more than that, that'd be fantastic. But I figured I don't want to go overboard and ask for a lot or like try and raise, you know, fund a lot. Because really, it's basically for the funding of the printing for comic book number 3, which will be out okay. later on in the summertime. And I'm pretty sure if my calculations are correct, comic book number 3, the whole thing should be done around April. So timing should be right. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to start the Kickstarter around April. I'm also going to have, you know, PDFs of the first comic books as well. I have other posters that I'm going to give away, not give away, but, you know, sell for the Kickstarter and stuff. But yeah, that's the two biggest things. I'm going to have special covers and prints of the actual special covers for the Kickstarter. And like I said before, comic book number 2 is kind of a filler. So the plan somewhere down the road is to make a graphic novel of, like, let's say volume 1 for the Thea Beaumont. Well, I'm going to omit number 2 because it has nothing with Thea Beaumont anyway. So it'll be like, let's just say it's a year and a half down the road. And I have, okay, here's the Thea Beaumont volume 1, the first half of the story arc. Well, it'll be come up number 1, 3, and 4. It won't be number 2 because number 2 has nothing to do with it. But let's say if they buy the special cover for comic number 2, they'll have something special that they won't be able to get if they buy the graphic novel in about a year and a half.
Gotcha. Okay.
Interesting marketing idea.
It is an interesting marketing idea. Have you done Kickstarter before?
No. That matter of fact, that's why my wife tells me not to go too overboard for my first one. That's why I wasn't asking for very much, trying to raise too much. I'm going to try to have a couple of ideas for once you get to a certain amount. Okay, this is available. And then once I get to another certain amount, this is available.
That's called stretch goals.
That's a stretch goal.
See?
It just took me 3 seconds to realize what it was. Yeah, stretch goals. I had all these great ideas for stretch goals. And my wife said, listen, it's your first one. Just get a couple of them. You know, don't go overboard for the first one. It's like, okay, good idea. So once you put the whole thing together, there'll be a couple of stretch goals, but not a whole lot. You know, but if it works out great, then maybe the next one next year, I'll have 3 or 4 stretch goals. You know.
How long do you see Turkana going? Do you have a specific number of issues, or is it just, hey, man, I'm going till I get all the ideas out of my head?
A little bit of both, actually. The main reason is I want to turn Turkana into a cartoon. So the whole idea is to try to get people to know Turkana, to try and saturate the internet with, hey, this is a cool, you know, superhero. We need to turn this into a cartoon and have somebody notice it. So right now, the Thea Beaumont story arc, my idea is for that story arc to last about 10 comics, you know, and then kind of with the same thing of the, like I said a few minutes ago, maybe a graphic novel for the first volume. And then, you know, because it's just kind of hard to keep putting comics out all the time. But of course, I got to go to the different comic book stores and try and get into the stores and that stuff like that. But really, the ultimate goal is to turn this into a cartoon. And it's going to take a while, I know, but that's the ultimate goal way down the road, is to turn it into an animated cartoon. I think it'd be better for Netflix, but again, if Disney came around and said, I probably wouldn't object.
Beggars can't be choosy, as my mom used to tell me.
Beggars can't be choosy.
Well, I mean, you hit a little bit on it before. You are a big fan of cartoons, and you listed quite a few of your favorites, including Avatar The Last Airbender, which, as fans of the PVD cast know, that's Brian Lau's favorite cartoon as well. But why are some of these your favorites? Like, what in your mind makes a great cartoon?
For me, it's the story. Sometimes the animation is, you know, over the top, but I just recently started. Have you ever heard of Kill la Kill? I think it's like an anime.
I have heard of it. I've never seen an episode. Is that on Hulu or is that on?
No, it's on. I don't know if it's on Hulu, but I know it's on Netflix. It's basically mature audience. So make sure new people know that it's a mature audience cartoon. It's an anime. They swear some in it, and there's also some what they call fan service, which is boobs and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
There's but the whole point is, if it wasn't for the fan service and if it wasn't for the swearing, it would be a fantastic story arc. I mean, it still is, but you have to get past that first, and very original. And that's what really, like, I'm intrigued by great story arcs, great, you know, storytelling. Sometimes there's a new cartoon on Netflix called Kipo, K-I-P-O, Kipo and the Wonder Beast or something. But it again, great story arc. It's only like 9 episodes, and I loved it because it kept me interested the whole time. There are other cartoons, not to say anything bad about them because they're okay, but like Teen Titans Go. Teen Titans Go is more of, to me, it's more for little kids. It's more silly. I was watching a couple episodes of the VC Superhero Girls, and again, it's okay. It's funny, you know, but it doesn't keep me interested because they're all packed into like a 11-minute episode. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, once you're done with that, then you move on to something else. Mm-hmm. But see, with, like I said, Kill la Kill, or After the Last Airbender, or something that keeps you interested from the next episode, you're going to want to watch the next episode. And that's what I did with Thea Beaumont. The last words in the first book was, okay, who's Thea Beaumont? And I left it like that. So you... okay, and that's the title of the book, Who's Thea Beaumont? So you don't know until you get the next book, but or the next story arc.
As a kid, what were some of your favorite cartoons?
As a kid, one of my favorite cartoons as a kid was Super Friends. I love that one. But surprisingly, there's a couple of anime shows that I was really into, but I didn't know they were anime at the time. One was called Star Blazers, and one was called Battle of the Planets. Battle of Planets was kind of Star Wars-ish. They had like a little R2-D2. Well, it wasn't R2-D2, but it looked like R2-D2. And they had these little watches we put on, and they had some incantation where they turned into the superhero. But Star Blazers was another one that had that big ship type of thing, and they had to go to Ishkandar way, way, way far away, and they had to come back in time to save the Earth. And it was, again, it was an anime, but at the time, I didn't know it was anime. It was really cool and a great overarching story arc because they had to go all the way to this one planet, come all the way back. You know, throughout the whole series.
That's why I asked that question, because I think as I think back, a lot of the cartoons I watched as a kid, they weren't serialized at all. You watch an episode and then move on, you know, and it was just the idea. I think for me, like, oh, there's G.I. Joe cartoon. I have the figures. I have to watch this. But really, in essence, there's not much depth to any of those storylines. That's why I threw that out there. And certainly those two animes certainly have some depth to them.
Yes. Have you heard of them or no?
I've heard of Battle of the Planets. I've not heard of Star Blazers.
Okay. Again, late 70s, early 80s. So, I mean, I don't know how many people have heard of them. I know some of my friends have. And again, at the time, I didn't know it was anime. It just means it's a cartoon because I was so young. But yeah, you can probably watch them online somewhere now. Pretty interesting. And it wasn't until I saw some of the early 2000s cartoons. Like I said, Avatar: The Last Airbender, which was like really intrigued me, and even though the sequel to that, which is The Legend of Korra, it wasn't having an overarching story arc. It had like every episode. Matter of fact, there's another cartoon that I really enjoyed recently, which was Big Hero 6, the series. The first season had an overarching story arc, and my kids just they had to watch every episode of the next one. They couldn't stop because it was great how it went from nothing to the next one. Because once the season was over, then that story arc was over, you know. But still, it was every season story arc, and that was fantastic. I love that one too.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Frank for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, posters, back issues, comic book supplies, basically anything you need, they got. So stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you could check them out online at wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. All you have to do is search for WG Comics within the search engine of Facebook, and you can get all the details on the store. But most importantly, no matter how you interact with World's Greatest Comics, whether it's going to the store in person or online, please let them know that you heard about the store from yours truly right here on the PVD cast. Well, let's switch gears a little bit because you are also a voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get started in that field?
Well, I started radio back in 1988. No, I'm sorry. I went to radio broadcasting school, Howell School of Broadcasting in 1988. I got my first job at a radio station in 1989 at WRQC. And at the time, I just used my first and last name, which was Frank Bailey, on the radio. And then when I worked to a country station, which I think I worked in country in Canton, Ohio, I went to Frank James, which is Matter of fact, I even used the Outlaw Frank James because it was a country radio station. I put a cowboy hat on. And when I left there, I went to a Youngstown station, did the exact same thing. People, they resonated with that name right away. Oh, it's the Outlaw Frank James. The guy who came on before me said, hide your jewelry, the Outlaw's on. So it was a play on words and, you know, curse. Everybody knows who the Frank James is, the famous outlaw. And it was great. But yeah, once I left radio, I kept the name Frank James for a long time. And my last radio station I worked at was in 2009. But then I went into voiceovers, decided to do it full time. And I learned a lot as I went because my very first job, I know this is video between me and us, but my very first job, I used a microphone as like a stage mic, and they wanted like a deep voice, like it's in world where Copus did this, and it was for some drummer, and they got paid like $50 to do that. But I realized, okay, the microphone didn't sound that good, but he hired me anyway. So then I went out and got a professional microphone. And now I have a different professional microphone. But yeah, I do voiceovers for some people. Some of my latest jobs I can't really talk about because they're NDAs, which is non-disclosure agreements. I like to talk about this. It's kind of funny. But a few years ago, I did a non-disclosure agreement for and I can't say what company it is, but it was for a little blue pill. But it wasn't blue. It was for something else. It was a different color and a different company. I was like, hey, you know, I take this pill and me and my wife are doing, you know what I mean? So I can't say the company, can't say what the color is, but you know, you get the idea. And I wasn't allowed to say it was actually me doing it. I can't like find it on YouTube or something and say, hey, that's my voice. It was part of the deal. But some of them I can't talk about until the exit comes out. But gotcha. I did some voiceovers for a YouTube channel called Channel Frederator, where they had me doing a series called Disney's Dark Secrets. And I would basically tell the story of how the real story behind Rapunzel, the real story behind Cinderella and the Little Mermaid and stuff, and Disney's Dark Secrets. And then I did one for Then Versus Now, My Little Pony. So I did some of the voiceovers for them and some voiceovers for a lot of my voiceover jobs you can hear on YouTube. Some of them actually put my name, some of them don't. So, but yeah, if I find them, I put them on my channel and I put them under jobs I voiced. So okay. You can hear some of the jobs that I voiced.
Okay. What do you think about the stereotype that some people have that, you know, voice acting is easy? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
It depends on how you look at it. Some people, it comes easy to them. Yeah, they can naturally do it. But I've learned throughout the years, because my very first voiceover job was in medical narration. And I've never, to this day, I've never forgot the first line of it, which is Ozurdex, dexamethasone intravitreal implant. And I can't say those medical words. I had to look them all up. And even though I got a certain amount of money to do this particular, you know, medical narration job thing, I spent so much time looking up the words, trying to figure out how to say them. It was the time spent doing that was over. No, I didn't get paid enough for it. So I stopped doing medical narration jobs. So I basically stuck with what I know and what I've done. And I can get the job done pretty simple, pretty easy if they, you know, give me a pretty easy script. But yeah, my first job that got paid for back in 2009 was a medical narration job. And I thought, oh, hey, I'm getting paid to do a job, not realizing how hard the words were.
And was it like pages after pages after pages? Because every time I see a medical journal, they're like, you know,
No, it was it was for some shot that goes into your eye if you have some kind of something. Yeah, again, I don't know the whole script and stuff because it was so long ago. But yeah, I think it was for trying to get rid of herpes of the eye. That's what it was. Ozurdex, dexamethasone intravitreal implant, and whatever it was, ocular lens and posting stuff. And oh geez, my phone's going off. Sorry.
Oh my goodness, your phone's going off because people are calling to want to know how to say certain medical words. That's what, Frank.
Yeah, again, I don't, you're an expert narration jobs, because, and when I was working for Channel Frederator, they asked me what kind of stuff that I really enjoyed, because if I enjoy the certain cartoons or certain things, it'll come easier for me. And a lot of those did come easier. Like I did 107 facts about Pinky and the Brain. I like Pinky and the Brain. So,
well, last question here before we start talking about your upcoming appearances, social medias, and all that jazz. If somebody came up to you at a Comic-Con and asked for some advice, what advice would you give them?
The first advice I always give anybody, and a lot of people have done this, they've actually come up to me and asked me for advice, is if you're going to be a writer, of stories like I am, because I don't do artwork. But if you're going to be a writer, know your audience. I say this generally, my books and my comics are made, you know, I'd say for all audiences. I don't want to say for kids, because when you think for kids, oh, it's for a little kid. No, it's not for little kids. They're teenagers fighting crime. So it's generally for kids, for all audiences. Know your audience. That's the first thing. Because if you're selling to, you know, I wouldn't go to a My Little Pony con trying to sell my comic books, because nobody's going to buy them. You know? So know your audience. That's the first thing. And two, know what kind of story you want to tell. Map it out. Even though some people like the latest Star Wars movie, which is The Rise of Skywalker, to me, and this is my own personal opinion, to me, there was an obvious lack of a roadmap between the first one that came out a few years ago, the Last Jedi, and the latest one. There's obviously a lack of a roadmap because they brought back somebody. He's like, wait, he wasn't in the beginning there, you know?
Right.
So yeah, know where you're headed. Have a roadmap of what you want to do. When it comes to artwork, though, since I'm not really an artist, I tell people just to draw your heart out and you try drawing and connect with other artists and see what they think. Because my daughter tried it. She's not really a good freelance or freehand drawer, but I bought this program. I didn't buy it. I'm sorry. It was a free program. I forget what it's called. Meta something. But it was a free download, and I put it on my old tablet. And I was going to try to draw just to the heck of it. Well, my daughter started using it, and she's getting better at it than I am, because she knows how to work the circles. And she was just, if you follow me on Facebook and stuff, she recently drew Stewie from Family Guy. I was like, wow, that's fantastic. How'd you do that? But she's learning how to work this program to draw artwork, because to her, it's a lot easier than doing freehand stuff, even though you probably should learn freehand. But I also look at it like, okay, is a kid today going to learn how to, you know, use a phone from a landline or on a cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you probably should learn on a landline, but then again, there's very few landlines left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some upcoming appearances. You have a very busy schedule so far for 2020, correct?
Yeah. Matter of fact, my last Comic-Con was in October of last year, so I took a good time off to do a lot of writing, do a lot of planning and stuff, but I've been planning. March is going to be a big busy month for me. My first Comic-Con of 2020 will be in Cleveland, Ohio at Wizard World. And let me make sure I got the dates right here. Boom, boom. It is March 6th, 7th, and 8th in Cleveland, Ohio at Wizard World. The following weekend after that, I go to Fantasticon in Toledo, which is March 14th and 15th. And then a week after that, on Saturday, which is Saturday, March 21st, I go to a brand new one that I've never been to before. It's called Cool Comics Expo. And I'm pretty sure that's in Middletown, Ohio. But yeah, that's a brand new one. And but after that, in April, I go to I go to Gem City Comic Con, but I forget the name of the one I'm going to in the beginning of April. Anyway, I'm trying to hit some newer Comic Cons I've never been to before, and some of the old reliable ones. Because doing this since 2016, you realize, okay, if I go there, if I'm not selling, you try somewhere different. Like, right. I loved going to Indianapolis for the Indie Pop Con. That was fun. It was great. But, you know, it's kind of 2-3 hours away, and I didn't sell the first couple of times as much as I wanted to. So let's try something different. That's why I'm going to, like I said, Wizard World in Cleveland for the very first time. So,
all right, there you go. Well, let's talk about social medias, websites, where people can pick up the book or the comic, Turkana, because you mentioned it's in some stores as well. So let's run down where folks can find the book and where they can get in touch with you.
Well, they can get in touch with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm on all three of those. Really, if you just Google Frank James Bailey, I've spent years trying to create a good internet footprint. So if you just Google Frank James Bailey, you should be able to find me. But I'm also, I mainly use Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. On Facebook, I have a Facebook like page for Turkana, which is basically Facebook /Turkana, really easy to find. But the one that people seem to enjoy the most is the fan club. And that's been around for a little while too. And in the fan club, people can post their own artwork. People can respond a lot better. I mean, somebody, let's just say they have their own artwork, like fan art, they can post it whenever they want. On the actual like page, I'm the one that controls that. So I can post things on there. Yeah, Turkana.com is where they can get the books. Turkana, that is www.TERCONA, Turkana.com. I think, yeah, you can also find the books on Amazon as well. The comic books are independently published, so they're only available on Turkana.com or where I go for Comic-Con or our bookstore or something. And you can find out where I'm going to be by going to Turkana.com and click on appearances. Appearances will have all the places where I've been, where I'm going to go. Plus, on Turkana.com, you can also find out more about the characters, because I have a character print, where you can click on for characters. You can click on all the characters, find out more about them. But on that character page, there's also a little part where it says, find out more about them here. You click on that one, and it'll tell you how high they are, what their weight is, and what their interests are, and that kind of stuff. There's a little bio in the characters page, but if you click on their bio, it says, find out more here. Click on that one, you can find out a lot more about them. So more about their personality and that kind of stuff. Again, right. You can order it through Turkana.com or going through Amazon.com for the books, but the comic books are only available through the website or when I go to a comic book store.
Right. Well, with that, Frank, any last words real quick for the listeners at home?
No, thanks a lot for interviewing me, man. I mean, it's been a while, so.
It has. Off air, I told Frank, folks, that it's been almost 2 years to the day. I mean, mm-hmm. It was February 15th, 2018, last time we talked. And but it was good to have you back on, man. And, hopefully the Kickstarter is very, very successful for you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully people continue to buy issues 1, 2, and 3 when it comes out. Mm-hmm. And, folks, pick up some of the books, too, man. If you want to get the complete story of the Turkana universe, you got to get it all, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate the interview, and that'd be great. You get it all, and it blows my mind sometimes when somebody hears me talking about it. It's like, I'll take everything. Okay, awesome, cool. Because sometimes people will come to me and say, well, no, I'll check out your comic book. It's only $5, you know. When somebody comes to me and says they buy everything, awesome, great. I'm like, cool.
All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Frank James Bailey, talking about all things Turkana. And if you have any questions, you want to get any information on Frank and his projects, all you got to do is go to Turkana.com. That's TERCONA.com. So I should probably let you know where you can get in touch with me. If you would like to tell me something, if you would like to ask me a question, if you would like to give a critique of the episode, you can do that a couple different ways. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And you can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/pvdcast. And you know what? If you would do me a solid, I would love it if you told a bunch of people about the PVDcast. And there's a ton of different places where they can find it. Obviously, pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is a great place to start, but it's also available through Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, Deezer, iHeartRadio app, the radio.com app, the Echo Network, Pod Paradise. Basically, any of the major podcasting platforms is going to carry it. All you have to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name, John Orlando, after it, but I guarantee that you will find it. And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe so that, number one, you're helping me out on the ratings, so to speak, and number two, so you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. And stay righteous and stay independent.